Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, you're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to continue from where I left off on Sunday. And today, we're going to be looking briefly at the subject of the spiritual man. We are looking at the subject of the spiritual man. Praise God. Please pick your pen, pick your diary or your writing materials. Let's look into the Word of God. We have quite a bit of ground to cover this evening. Praise God. Okay, so the first, my first point of call today is the Word of God in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and from verse 11. I want us to read this together. The scripture says, "Lest Satan should gain an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Lest Satan, in this particular scripture, the word of God was referring to the subject of forgiveness. Hallelujah. The word of God was referring to the subject of forgiveness, and Paul was speaking here. He said that lest Satan should take an advantage over us, say, for we are not ignorant. So what that means is that the greatest power of the enemy is in the aspect of ignorance. The devil draws his greatest strength from ignorance. What you don't know, he capitalizes on it to your disadvantage. Praise God. So it's very important for people to know that God is not a Nigerian. There are people that they just think God should understand or that God will answer their prayers, but no, it doesn't always really work that way. What most people are really asking for when they are praying is that they are asking for the intervention of mercy, and there's a place for that. But in much of the cases, there are certain things that do not really require mercy. They require us to respond to God in a particular way so that we can receive of his grace. So there's a difference between grace and mercy. But Paul was saying here that if, for instance, somebody is taken up in a particular fault, like in those days they used to have people who would sleep with each other's wives or someone's mother and they were in church. And Paul said, look, even in the handling of that kind of a matter, you cannot be too careful. He said, because the devil could try to gain an advantage over you while trying to oversee such a matter. So Paul said, we are not ignorant. We know that every time the devil tries to do something, it is not just that one scenario he's trying to get at. He's trying to come in fully and then spread that virus in the entire atmosphere. So this is very, very basic and very scripture that I want to read. Now, how are we able to navigate all of this? It is only in the realm of the spirit that we are able to see what the enemy is planning, and we are able to take a position against it. Again, I want to say here that if you are a believer or you are in Christ, but you despise the reality of knowledge after the order to which you have been called as a believer, you might find yourself dealing with certain things, and you might wonder why it seems that even some unbelievers are getting better, getting ahead in life more than you. So God does not want us to live in ignorance. It is only in the realm of the spirit you are able to understand what the enemy is doing. You cannot assess what the enemy is doing by simply looking at what is happening in the physical realm. You must gain some ability to be able to see what is really going on in the realm of the spirit. Okay, so in the realm of the spirit, when David had to face Goliath, some would have just seen, this guy Goliath is here to embarrass his own nation. But as far as demons has decreed, that was the platform through which David will be launched into limelight and will later become king. So it is only in the realm of spirit we are able to see the challenge, we are able to understand it properly, and know what we are required to do. So if you are not spiritually alert, if you are not spiritually open, you will behave like somebody who is not saved. Your response will most likely be that of a person who has no spiritual guidance. So this is why we are really talking about the spiritual man here. So let's read one other scripture. Look at the book of John chapter 3 and verse 6. I want to show you something in John chapter 3 and verse 6. Look at what the Lord Jesus said here. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." Praise God. What is the Lord Jesus saying here? And sometimes, like I usually would recommend, that we should all take some time to look at the words of Jesus. They are many times very, very simple, but very profound. Okay? Our Lord Jesus was saying here, and I want you to consider that this is our Lord Jesus actually speaking here. Our Lord Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh." That means that our Lord Jesus recognized that there are only two kinds of birth. Okay, there is a natural birth and there is a spiritual birth. So everyone who is human, who is born into this world, automatically has a natural birth. But not everyone has a spiritual birth. The spiritual birth is what we refer to as being born again. It's not going to church. Even though church is good, spiritual birth does not mean that one is spiritually alive to divine things without Christ. So Jesus said that, look, he said that which is born of the flesh, and he was saying this in response to Nicodemus, who was trying to give a natural understanding to the things that the Lord Jesus was trying to share. And this is a mistake that is also very common in our day. We discuss, or maybe we're in a community, we're in church, and certain spiritual truths are being brought forth. We always want to understand it in the flesh. We always want to see the natural perspective or the human angle to everything. Certain things in the spirit are just what they are. That's all. They are spiritual things. So you may have, for instance, prayer is a spiritual transaction. Okay, the ability to pray and get results is a spiritual transaction. It is not, everybody can pray. But it's not the prayer everybody offers that is a spiritual transaction. So if you understand this, you will not try to interpret prayer as something that anybody can do. It's a priestly function. Prayer is a priestly function. So we need to understand these things work. And in the book of Revelation chapter 5, the word of God says that he has made us kings and priests with God. And one of the functions of a king, of a priest, is the function of intercession. So please, I want us to understand this thing first from the spiritual context before we attempt to bring it down into the natural context, so that we will not be missing out on a lot of things. Our Lord just said to in John chapter 3 verse 6, he said that which is born of flesh will be flesh, and that which is born of spirit. That means that when a man is born again, he becomes born after the Holy Spirit. He becomes a child of the Holy Ghost. Everyone born again is a child of the Holy Ghost. And that's why you find that even when no one is there, you've done something bad, you feel guilty, you feel sorry. Not because anybody is going to, you know, take a cane and flog you, but because you have the Holy Spirit, who is the regulator and the controller of that life. So if you are, for instance, you are someone that, you know, you violate the law of God often, or let's say, oh, maybe you're participating in sexual immorality, or you are doing something that you know in your heart that does not glorify God, and you keep making an excuse for yourself and say, look, God understands. So what happens is that over time, the Holy Spirit stops talking. And the moment the Holy Spirit stops talking, you are in a very dangerous position. You are about to become a spiritual bastard. So these are realities with us. God is saying that just the same way a child is born, people go there and they celebrate and congratulate the parents, and the child is fed with milk, then later is fed with proper food, and the child becomes a man. It's the same way somebody that is born into the family of God, we have to go through the spiritual process of feeding. You will have to feed on the word of God. You will have to partake of the kind of food that is commensurate with his spiritual age. And that's why some of you notice that, for instance, there are people that no matter whatever they are reading in the Word of God, no matter what they are reading in the Word of God, they will not see anything beyond blessings and prosperity. And if that is your situation, it is a strong indicator that you may still be in the class of a spiritual baby or a young child. Because the scripture says that strong meat belongs to them who are matured and who have learned to use their senses to discern between good and evil. So even from the things that the Holy Spirit shares with you, you can tell the level where the Holy Spirit actually keeps you. This does not mean that God cannot speak of basic things, or the Holy Spirit cannot share basic things with anyone. But I'm saying that if you study the pattern, for instance, and most of the things you find God sharing with you are along a particular line, then you can deduce that, okay, maybe this is the level you are, and that's why the Spirit is having to say a lot of these things to you. So this is the foundation of what it means to be a spiritual man. When a man is born again, that man comes into the family of God. Just the way human beings can only reproduce human life, it is the only spirit that gives birth to spiritual life. It is the Holy Spirit that gives birth to spiritual life. For instance, let me say this. Have you ever been in a class, maybe while you are in university, or maybe you are in a program, and there was this particular aspect of the course that you didn't like because it seemed too complicated or complex? It is the same thing in spiritual things, okay? It is the same thing in spiritual things. When God begins to introduce you to complex things, it is because he has found you worthy to rise in your spiritual stature. When God begins to demand you to pray for a greater number of time, maybe instead of 30 minutes, you are doing 1 hour, you are doing 2 hours, it is because he begins to look at you that at your level, you should be able to participate in certain things. Okay, so it's the same thing in the natural sphere. You will not give algebra to a child in primary one. Okay, it's just the way it works. Okay, so a spiritual process begins when someone comes to Christ. Okay, when someone comes to Christ. And that is the journey. At that particular time, even though you are a spiritual person, but you are still a spiritual baby, that person needs to be nurtured, that person needs to be fed, to be able to grow into all that God has called him to be. What it also means to be born as a spiritual person is that you have the same DNA that God has. You have the same DNA that God has. You see, that this is also something that is very, 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 very fundamental. Okay, but let me read a scripture to you in the book of First Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The scripture says, being born of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let's read it again. Say, we are born again, not of a corruptible seed. That corruptible seed means that we are not born by the will of the flesh. We are not born again simply because to a man and a woman came together. The word of God says here that we are born by the incorruptible seed. And that incorruptible seed is the word of God. And it tells us that that particular seed lives and abides forever. Okay, so what that means is that as long as you continue to nurture that seed, as long as you continue to humble yourself under the authority of the word of God, what that means is that you are able to rise into the full potential of the life of God that is within you. You are not exposed to spiritual suffocation. Okay, and that's why you find that sometimes, even as believers, we need to take a retreat, we need to rest, we need to wait on the Lord because of the peculiarity of our nature. Okay, we draw our strength by staying connected to our source. This is so, so, so important. So the word of God here is telling us that, look, when a person is born again, the first thing that God does for him is that God gives him his spiritual DNA. So whether you are born again in the US or in France or in Nigeria, wherever you find yourself, if you continue to feed on the word of God, you cannot get any other result except the type of result that God's word says you are going to get. So this is very important. We have the DNA of God. And this is why with proper teaching, you now understand that it is really impossible for somebody to carry the DNA of God and then be living under a curse. It is impossible for someone to carry the DNA of God legally. And please look at that word, legally. To carry the DNA of God and live under a curse. But what happens is that because many times there's a knowledge gap, and we have not been taught to walk in these things. We have not been taught to believe in these things. We have not been taught to know that this is our true nature. This is our true identity. So we begin to struggle, and many times we have to pray for people. Now, this does not mean that if you are born again, you may not be oppressed by the enemy. But what it means is that you cannot be possessed by the enemy. Somebody who is genuinely born again and has the Holy Spirit in his spirit cannot be possessed by the enemy. But if that believer does not renew his mind and walks, walks in the word of the Lord, or others his step by the word of the Lord, then that kind of a person may be oppressed. Okay, so that's a different thing. But please, you understand my context. I'm talking about demonic possession here. A believer, somebody who is born again, who has the DNA of God, because the DNA of God is in your spirit. The DNA of God is in your spirit. It is not in your soul. For the influence of God's authority and government to be in a man's soul, there is one law that believer must obey. It is the law of the renewal of the mind. When a believer renews his mind by the word of God and lives by the word of God, you find that the person's soul begins to respond to God just the same way his spirit would respond. Okay? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, the scripture also tells us that whosoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God is the Son of God. This is the faith that comes from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what we are saying here, or that I'm trying to share with you here, is that the basic transaction code to accessing any spiritual thing or any spiritual reality is faith. And that faith is drawn from our revelation of who Jesus is. So you find that when a person, for instance, reads John 3:16, for instance, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is the word of God. But when some of us read the scripture, that scripture, what we see mostly is salvation. If a person comes to Jesus, that person will not perish eternally. And that is correct. But for you to understand the power of that scripture, you must see the Son of God, who is the central theme of that scripture. If any, for God's loved word, I gave his only begotten Son. So there is the God, the fatherhood of God, and there is the person of Jesus Christ. So when you see that revelation, that is when the thought part can actually apply to you. These are realities. So I say to people, when we read the scripture, we need to be patient. We need to humble ourselves under the power of the Holy Spirit so that he can show us very simple things that are there, but we are not seeing. Look at what 1 John chapter 5 verse 1 says. He says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. That means since he's born of God, he has the DNA of God. He has the mind of Christ. He has the capacity to do the same things that Jesus did on the earth. And as I'm sharing this thing with you, if you believe it, you just stop praying some prayer points immediately. Hallelujah. That is where the faith trigger becomes active. Because the faith trigger is activated when there's a revelation of the Lord Jesus. The faith trigger is always activated when it captures an insight into who God is, and then that faith can become active. And what am I talking about there? I'm saying every time you look into the word of liberty, and you embrace that word that God is giving to you, and not just look at it like, oh, something I read because I wanted to read the Bible. Every time you look into the word of God, it's what you are having, what we call a word encounter. These things are very foundational. These are some of the things we believed. These are the things that has reduced the prayer point of certain things for so many of us. And this is very profound, I tell you. If you believe this thing, you are going to see a lot of changes in your life. Now, to understand your spiritual nature, like I said, you must grasp the revelation of who Jesus is. A man may be born a spirit, but if he lacks the full understanding of this reality, he will not be able to maximize his potential. This, again, is very basic. So we want to maximize our potential. We want to come to Christ and become all that God wants us to be. So We need to be exposed to the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, and in order for us to maximize our spiritual potential. Okay, now let me give an example. When somebody joins the occult, the first thing they do, forget about where you are coming from. You may be the MDC of ABC company. You may be a chief accountant or something. The first thing they do is to for him to be indoctrinated into the gospel of that occult. So what do? They sit him down and tell him that, look, now that you've joined our group, you are officially now a wizard. What that means is that you have power over matter, over material, over human beings. You can kill, you can make alive. They tell him all kind of stuff. They tell him his rank. So person is your senior here. So person is your junior here. They tell him so many things. And you know what happens? Many of these people, when they get into such associations or occult, they come out during the day. They want to test that power. They want to check and be sure. Maybe this thing is real, you know. It's the same thing in the realm of the spirit. When a man comes to Christ, the first thing God wants to do is to introduce him into the realm of knowledge. God wants him to know who your father is. I am your father. He wants you to know who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, the role that they play in your life. He wants you to know so many things about angels. He wants you to know about your ministering spirits, those that are assigned to you. He wants you to know about the believer's authority and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, there are people that for a whole year sometimes, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to them about scripture. The only time the Holy Spirit talks to them is when he wants to, so person is gossiping about you. I mean, people want to operate in the power of God, but they don't want to operate in the fellowship of the Spirit. And it is the fellowship of the Spirit that triggers and gives volume and weight to the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So you begin to exude confidence. Just like that mind you caught. He goes out and begins to tell himself, I'm very powerful now. I'm very powerful. I'll be able to deal with all my enemies. Okay, simply because he joined an occult and they indoctrinated. They don't allow him to bring the old knowledge of wherever he's coming from here. In this particular realm, we can ask evil spirits to bring money to your room. Okay, so many of them work just to cover up. They don't work because they need the money. They work to cover up. Okay, so it's important for us to learn our spiritual nature. Learning about your spiritual nature is your greatest advantage in this world, and I'm telling you. Learning about who God has made you is your strongest advantage. So when the enemy comes to you and says, look, I killed your dad with this sickness, I killed your granddad with this sickness, something like this happened to your mom, and then you say, that's not my portion. Then you can now begin to use scripture. Say, we are a royal priesthood, we are a chosen generation, I'm a peculiar people. You begin to quote scripture. Why? Because you've learned about your new nature. You are no more bound to what the enemy is saying or has said. You are listening to another version now, which is the word of God. This is very profound truth. Okay? Learning your spiritual nature is your strongest advantage in this world. If not, the enemy will mess you up. And that's why you find that when Jesus was on the... when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the first thing Satan did was to attack his identity. Satan attacked his identity and said, if you are the son of God. That's the first thing the enemy does. He wants to see if you have a good grasp of who you are in Christ. And when you are not able to do that, then he begins to come in and tries to manipulate you, tries to put you in a very difficult position. Okay? Now, let me give you a few benefits of being a spiritual person. The benefits of a spiritual man, number one, is the ability to speak with God from a position of authority. The first benefit of the spiritual man is the ability to speak with God from a position of authority. The scripture says in Colossians that we are seated in heavenly places with him. Praise God. We are seated in heavenly places. So when you are dealing with issues, you can come either as a king or as a priest. Okay? So that's the first point there. You know, and this is a very significant point. Because you are speaking to God from a point of advantage. You are not speaking to him like somebody who has no God. You are telling him, Father, this is what we are dealing with, and this is what we legislate in the realm of the Spirit. This is what we want to be done. You are speaking to God because you have his audience. You have attention. You don't need to wait once a year when the high priest will go into the holiest of all. Number two, the benefit of a spiritual man is you become a king in the spirit realm. You know, I just mentioned this, you become a king. That means when they look at you in the realm of the spirit. You know, Paul was saying in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, verse 17, he said, 16, he said, we don't know Jesus after the flesh anymore. That means it will be wrong for anybody, for instance, to look at you and try to make an assessment or judgment of you just by, you know, how you look physically. You know, I remember sometimes when I pray for people who are sick or who are going through conditions that have taken them to the hospitals, you know, and I just see how God touches them, and then I realize how powerful or weighty our words can be, especially when your tongue is anointed. You speak a word, and then you just find that all of a sudden somebody who can't walk begins to walk, or somebody who had a particular heart condition is healed. How do you are not jumping around, you are not making noise, okay? And that's because when the devil looks at you, he sees a king. But greater than how the enemy sees you is how you see yourself. If you see yourself as someone who is clothed in royalty, in the realm of the spirit, a king after the order of the Almighty God, and a priest after the order of Melchizedek, you are in a very good place. Praise God. The scripture says, by me, kings, decree justice. So that just gives us a whole lot of what benefit we stand to gain when we understand that what our spiritual nature gives to us. It's just like asking a human being who has lived with men, and then you take him into the forest and you ask him to begin to eat grass or wild grass. He doesn't say, I can't do that. I know my nature. I'll probably wait till I can get some real food. Okay? So you become a king in the spirit. And again, this is captured in Revelations chapter 5 I think that should be verse 10. That should be verse 10. Let me see if I can get that out. Look at this. The word of God says he has made us unto our God. So that means Jesus made us. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, made us unto our God. Two things, kings and priests. Okay, and this also goes into my third point. Apart from being a king, he has also made us priests with God. But you see what he made us. That means when a man comes to Christ and embraces the word of the Lord over his life, God doesn't just bring you, Jesus doesn't just lead you into his fold and leave you that way. He invests spiritual authority into you. And that is the role of a king and a priest. So that's the third point. The second one is a king. Number three is that you become a priest with God. Number four is that you are able to see and hear in the spirit. Benefit of a spiritual man is that you can tune out your ear. You can shut your ears down here and attempt to hear what God is saying about a particular matter or a particular situation. Okay, if you read Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, we've read that scripture recently. I want to show you that scripture. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. The word of God says, after this I looked and I beheld a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard. Can you see the word heard? I look. The first thing there is, after this I looked. You see, so he was able to see in the spirit. And the moment he began to see in the spirit, he heard. Praise God. He heard. So these are the things that God has made for our provision. The ability to see and hear in the spirit is one of the benefits of being a spiritual person. Somebody could be standing in front of you and say, oh, I just lost 50,000 now. I lost 50,000 now. Can I get 10,000 there? Can I get it? And you're just like, nope. I mean, so because you can hear in the spirit And what you are hearing is this is a lying spirit. Okay? You are hearing this is a lying spirit. Praise God. You are hearing this is a lying spirit. So you tell the person, oh, I'm so sorry, but I can't give you some money right now. So it helps you appreciate your advantage. It helps you appreciate your advantage. When you can see and you can hear in the spirit, you begin to make deductions and you begin to take positions on the strength of divine accuracy, not just on what seems to be popular. Praise God. You are making decisions on things that are more realistic, not just what you can see, what everybody can see with the eyes. Number five, you gain ability to manipulate the natural realm. When a person is born of the spirit, as you get more matured and matured, you will notice that you have certain abilities to manipulate the natural realm. You can ask that the Lord will grant and that there will be no rain. And you find that in the story of Elijah. Scripture said he prayed and the heavens were shut for 3.5 years. Okay? So when a man becomes a spiritual man, he is invested with authority, that man may at times be able to manipulate the natural realm. Manipulate the natural realm. He would have things. Somebody say rain bender. Yeah, you know, some people can bend water. You know, Jesus did it. He was on the high seas and he walked on water. Okay, that means that everything that God created has intelligence, and you are able to participate in these things simply because you are a child of God. Okay, so when you now find people who really don't want to be close to God or to become very spiritual people, pardon me to use that because you are already spirit, but maybe the real word there is to become spiritually conscious. You see, you are actually losing out on a whole lot of blessing. Because I tell you, if David had looked at Goliath with his two eyes, he will know without any prophet telling him that he couldn't have killed that man. But looking at that subject matter from another standpoint, he was able to see the mind of God and eventually was able to kill Goliath. Praise God. Let me give you one or two more. You are no longer afraid of what makes other people afraid. This is a very good advantage of being a spiritual person, because everybody is saying, looking at this thing after a particular order, but you are looking at it from another dimension. It's just like when the 12 Hebrew men were sent to spy on Jericho. Okay, so 10 people came back and they gave a particular report, but because Caleb and Joshua were seen after the order of faith, they were able to give a different report. And they were not afraid. They said, these guys are bread for us. And eventually, they were able to bring down that city. So this is one of the benefits of being a spiritual man. Instead of always waking up and binding and binding and binding, why don't you invest in this other aspect so that you don't even have to wake up and keep binding? I'm not saying you don't bind. I'm saying it really can't be every day. You know, number seven, when you become a spiritual man, your discernment becomes sharper, very sharp, than the average individual. Okay? Especially if you are someone that, you know, prays in tongues a lot, your discernment can become extremely sharp. Praise God. Somebody was asking, how come when you prophesy, sometimes you are prophesying to somebody, then you leave the person, go and prophesy to another person in another corner. How are you able to hear God at the same time like that? The key word there is discernment. Okay, the key word there is discernment. So when you pray in tongues, don't just pray in tongues absent-mindedly to mark time. Pray in tongues deliberately to sharpen your discernment. Praise God. You sharpen your discernment. You, as you pray in tongues, you are seeing in your mind's eye the power of the Holy Spirit, sharpening your capacity to receive supernatural information. You sense it. God begins to put certain thoughts in your heart. He begins to put certain things in your mind, and you begin to check them out. You realize, wow, this thing was really profound. Okay, so those are seven benefits of being a spiritual man. Now, let me say this about how to strengthen your spiritual nature. The truth of the matter is that most people who are on this meeting now, whether you're on Facebook or Zoom or what, connecting from Mixella, almost everybody is probably born again. And if you are not born again, you can go ahead right now and say believer's prayer, and now Jesus come into your heart, and it's going to happen immediately. Praise God. Okay, so how do we strengthen our spiritual nature? This is important because somehow, you know, you want to battle with it, and like, is it possible for someone to be born of God and not, you know, not to be spiritually optimal in his performance? Yes. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say to you here is that you must go back to your source. Okay, you must go back to your source. Why many are spiritually weak is because they do not go back to their source for replenishment, for nourishment. So for instance, man was made from the soil. And you find that for man to continue living for a number of years, he needs to feed. He needs to feed on that which comes out from the soil. Food, fruits, you know, vegetables and so on and so forth. Okay, so we need to go back to the Word of God. So tonight when you want to study the Word of God, or tomorrow morning, read it because you know that you are going back to your source. The scripture tells us, I believe I read it in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let me see if I can get it, chapter 1 and verse 23. Okay, look at what that scripture says. It says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God. You see the word, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And you will find Jesus saying that if anyone believes in him, he shall not see death. Okay? So these things are very, very related. Okay? When you are committed to what the word of God says, regardless of your experiences, you tend to see more of God. You are more in tune with what is going on around you, both spiritually and naturally. Okay, so the first thing you need to do here is to, you know, channel your energy back to your source. Okay, and that's why you find that for some of these are folks in the occultic, when they wake up in the morning, they go back to their oracles and they dance, they sing, they do all kind of things. Every religious faith or inclination you subscribe to, there's always this thing about seeking God early. There's always this thing about seeking that deity early. In fact, the scripture says, it is those that know their God that shall be strong. And like I've said, that Daniel 11:32 is not a Christian verse. It is a verse of it has spiritual connotation. So if you're in the office with somebody who is a Sango worshiper, and the person knows his idol more than you know your God, then he will be strong, and he will subdue you. So it is childish for somebody to be spiritually lazy and be saying, I serve a big God. You serve a big God, but does God have a big child in you? So these are the issues we are talking about. You have to go back to your source. And on this strength again, the level of fellowship we have with the Word of God is the primary difference between how much authority we are able to dispense at a particular time. Let me read that to you again. The level of fellowship we have with the Word of God is the primary difference or determinant of how much authority we are able to operate and dispense at a particular time. So while some people might just want to pray for power, you want the Holy Ghost to fill you, and God is wondering, maybe you are like Simon who wanted to buy the anointing. You can't buy the anointing. And the difference between what Simon did and what some other people have done is the motive. So you have to be very careful. You have to watch your motive. Fellowship is very important. Fellowship is the stabilizer of the power of God. Your fellowship life with the Holy Spirit, your communal life with the Holy Spirit, is the stabilizer of the power that is put inside you. So if there's no fellowship, and then you are operating so much power like Samson, who is going to correct you? Okay, who is going to correct you? So fellowship is very, very important. Going back to your source, feeding on the Word of God. Scripture says we are born of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. That means that as long as I keep going back to the Word of God and I'm feeding on the Word of God, I am going to strengthen my spiritual nature. It's just like charging a phone to be able to operate at its optimal level. I remember in those days when we used to in the days of the BlackBerry phone, if your phone battery level dropped to a particular amount or to a particular level, one of the first things you will see is that you will go offline. You won't be able to make calls on that phone again until you charge. It's the same thing. When a person is spiritually weak, his capacity to be active spiritually, to be able to respond to God, to hear God's voice, it becomes very weak or almost impossible. So fellowship is very important. Going back to your source is very important. Let me also say this, that your spirit can deplete in spiritual energy. Okay, for instance, as I'm talking to you now, I'm depleting spiritual energy because I'm sharing the word of God with you. And that's why God does not want you to be an isolate. He doesn't want you to just be a wanderer. You need to learn to draw from what others have shared. You need to continue to listen to the word of God so that you will not be, your battery level won't be that low to the point where you become disconnected from the life and the word of God in your spirit. Okay, you also find this, I found this in Proverbs chapter 18 and from verse, let me see, Proverbs 18:14. Look at what the word of God says here. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded man, a wounded spirit, who can bear? Okay, let me see if I can get another version here that may look at the message. Look at the message translation. It says a healthy spirit conquers adversity. Can you look at this? It means when you have a spiritual life that is healthy, whatever adversity, whatever challenge you are facing, you are able to, you know, overcome them much easily than somebody who is not spiritually healthy. Okay? But look at what the word of God says. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Praise God. So these are some of the things we are talking about here. You need to continue to fine-tune your spirit. You need to continue to wait on the Lord. You need to continue to engage in spiritually healthy activities like praying together, like fellowship, like sharing one another, like you find the book of Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. We begin to talk about activities such as praying in the spirit for elongated hours, a period of time, praying while you are on your way to work, during the traffic, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, getting up every 3 hours while you are at work, go to the restroom. You will spend like 3 minutes just praying the Holy Ghost while you are there. Okay, take every opportunity to keep yourself spiritually healthy so that even when the attack is coming against you and you can't really see it, your spirit is able to rise above it and conquer that adversity. So these are very, very, very important. Look at the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. He says, it is those that wait upon the Lord that shall renew their strength. Again, this is how to operate optimally, to rise to the full capacity of your human spirit. The word of God is saying that if those that wait upon him, that means God knows that there are some believers that will not wait upon him. And the direct result is that they will deplete in strength. You see that scripture there, Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, it says those that wait upon the Lord will renew. The key word there is renew. And anything that has the word renew means that there's also the other aspect of depleting in strength. So God wants us to renew. God wants us to renew spiritual strength. God does not want us to be weak. God does not want us to be tired. God does not want us to be helpless. And the key to that is to learn how to continually wait on the Lord. When you are in the bus, pray in the spirit in your mind. Learn how to pray in your mind. Okay? You don't have to always move your mouth and be so loud every time that you are praying. Okay, learn, you know your situation better. Try to develop a way. You may want to set up your alarm to be able to remind you when you are supposed to go get up and pray for a minute or two. Take every opportunity to be able to do this, because these are the things that come together to make you spiritually healthy. That word of God, that scripture said that a healthy spirit we crush adversity. A healthy spirit will crush adversity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let me give you another scripture that would help us appreciate some of these things that I'm sharing with you now. When I'm done, I'm going to put this scripture on this video on YouTube so that you can always go there and get the best of this, and you can listen again. Now, I want to look at this scripture. It says, speaking to yourself in Psalms. Okay, let me start from verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means that God advocates that we should be constantly drunk in the Spirit. God wants us to be overflowing. Come on, praise God. God wants us to be drunk in the Spirit. God wants us to partake of spiritual wine till we are drunk and we are continuously overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to have any space in our mind, in our hearts, where we are, where the enemy can take advantage of. Say, be drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was comparing that to being drunk with alcoholic beverage. Look at, and how does he want us to achieve this? He said we can be filled with the Holy Spirit by speaking to ourselves. Can you see this is in two ways? Number one, you speak to yourselves by talking to yourself, speaking to your spirit, becoming vocal and telling yourself, you can call your name and say, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. My spirit is sharp. My spiritual eyes are open. I'm able to navigate through the realms of the Spirit with the help of the Holy Ghost. You begin to speak to yourselves. And another context here, which is actually the one that Paul was referring to, was speaking to one another in Psalms. Okay, we speak to one another in psalms and hymns. Okay, so and that's why you find, you go to some churches, you say, oh, shalom, blessing, because those are words you find in scripture. And the other person replies, you are blessed, you are favored. Speaking to yourself in psalms, telling somebody shalom has a greater weight spiritually than saying good morning. And please hear what I'm saying now. Telling someone shalom or peace be unto you as a greater blessing than saying good morning. So when you see your brother, your spiritual sister, develop the culture of saying to them, shalom, peace. You see, Jesus said every time you go into a house, declare the peace of God upon them. And if there's a child of peace there, the peace will abide in that house. He says, speak to yourself in hymns. So we need to come to the church, or come to a fellowship, and then we can sing a hymn. We have so many lovely hymns that we can sing and just be a blessing. The good thing about hymns is that you don't really have to, you don't need so many things to be able to sing a hymn. You just need your voice and you need a heart that is yielded to God. We have so many hymns. I'm trying to remember this one. What a friend, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Very beautiful hymn. You can sing that. I rarely see any demon manifest when people sing hymns, because the atmosphere is just really all about Jesus Christ. Okay? So singing to yourself hymns spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are songs of the Spirit. Sometimes, yeah, it's good to have some of our songs already prearranged and all, but sometimes it's just good to come without any preparation, and we just begin to sing and bless the Lord. Some of those unprepared songs are the ones that have so much impact upon our souls, and we don't forget. Scripture says, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So this is something you can do when you are in a bus. You can just sing and just make melody, sing, and just bless Him. God said, make melody in your heart. You could be doing it, and people might not even know what you are doing. You just think you are looking straight and calm or quiet, but in your heart you are making melody unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The scripture says, let me give you verse 20. Some people have been wondering, why is it that we place so much emphasis on the issue of worship I want to show you what verse 20 tells us in that scripture. After talking to us about singing to ourselves spiritual songs and hymns, he says, giving thanks always. Praise God. The key word there is always. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. This is why we praise God. This is why we appreciate Him. This is why we thank Him. And this is one of the strongest ways to move in the realm of the Spirit when you are always giving praise to God. When Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, He gave thanks. Praise God. When He was going to multiply the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He gave thanks. Praise God. So giving thanks to God is a very profound weapon. It's not something we do because we are Yoruba people and we like to dance. It is not something we do because we are Igbo people and we have nice songs. It doesn't mean because you have a danceable body or a danceable voice, or a sonorous voice, you want to tell us how much you got going for you. No, He said giving thanks always. Hallelujah. In the good times, we give Him thanks. In the bad times, we give Him thanks. Praise God. Every situation we find ourselves, when we don't know what to do, we give Him thanks. Because the moment we begin to do that, we open the floodgates of revelation. When you take these things and you practice them consistently, and the key word is consistently, you will find that your spirit begins to operate at a higher level, such that you seem to see from a different perspective, you know from a different perspective, you find that you are not moved by so many things that are happening around you. Why? Because you are in the realm of God. I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, as many of you that have heard this word tonight, that this word will be a great blessing to you. It will establish you, it will strengthen you in your faith and your relationship towards God. It will help you to come closer to God, knowing that you are not cast off, but you are actually desired. It will help us to know, everyone at the sound of my voice, that what God, the thoughts that God has concerning you, which are thoughts of peace, to give you a hope and a future. That everyone at the sound of my voice, the grace of God will cover you and He will establish His word in your heart. And just like as human beings we gravitate towards the soil to get our food, our natural food, now in the name of Jesus, we will begin to gravitate towards the things of the Spirit, the meal, the spiritual meal, which is the word of God, that our heart will be textured with humility to be able to receive that which God has prepared for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. I want to thank you all for coming out this evening. If you are joining us on Mixlr, please go ahead.